You are listening to WPVM LP 103.7 in Asheville, North Carolina, and globally at WPVMFM.org.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Showers and thunderstorms across western North Carolina this weekend. Some storms could be strong to severe with damaging winds. High temperatures in the lower to mid-80s. Overnight lows in the mid-60s. As we look ahead to Monday, showers and possibly some thunderstorms with a high near 76. Showers and thunderstorms Monday night with a low going down to around 63. I'm Johnny Cottle on Radio Asheville 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, a syndicated radio talk show host, retired Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Dawn broadcasts on the Pacifica Network and WPVM-FM LP 103.7 Radio Asheville. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. So glad to have you. It's your first time. Hey, welcome. Oh, my gosh. On the other side of the world is Percy Goat Taco. His name, his last name is G as in good, O, T as in Tom, U-A-C-O. I had to ask him how to say it because I've been renamed many times. He is a former principal. He teaches TEDx talks. He's a speaker. He's a speaker's coach. He's a coach on strength. We're going to get all in that. He wants to talk today about building the resiliency in children. So needed. It's a very divided world. Firstly, tell everyone where you're coming from.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm dialing in from Bangkok, Thailand. Bangkok, Thailand. It's 11 hours off of the Eastern time zone, 12 hours off of Central U.S. time zone.
I want to go there one day. Absolutely. But you were in Texas for many years, correct, as a principal?
That's correct. I spent over 30 years in education, and most of my life was in Texas all throughout Houston, Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth area, mostly in the Fort Worth area. And then I did a little bit of teaching in China as well at international schools.
Awesome. Well, you have such an impressive background, and something that I have not done in a long time is had someone on to talk about children. Why are you interested in building resiliency in children?
Golly, I think that's what they need the most. You know, I think oftentimes we think that it's all about knowledge. But if it's one thing AI has taught us, knowledge is no longer the prime piece of real estate that it was, right? I mean, everybody's got a phone in their pocket. You don't need to walk around with a whole encyclopedia in your head. You've got yourself a cell phone, and you're addicted to it. So really, it's a matter of being able to bounce back as the world shifts to be able to say, you know what? I can bounce when things go against me.
Yeah. Do you think children today have to be more resilient in this world?
They've got to. And I think they're actually better at it than we are as adults. I think if we allow them to do what it is that they do best, they'll actually bounce a whole lot better than we can.
Now, I've heard stories of the younger folks, and now we're talking about children, but the younger generation, because I'm the last year of the baby boomers. I don't think I fit there, actually. But they say today the young adults, you know, are spoiled. They want everybody to do things for them. But is that the case?
Well, I think they come at things from a different reality. And that's not all bad, because they might need to be in that different reality, because that's the reality that their generation is in. Just like we are in a certain reality of, you know, you and I remember when the phone was attached to the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And you know what, you and I remember when a camera was a separate entity than a phone. I was just at an event the other day. They had a young 25-year-old something intern as the photographer. They gave her a camera, and I'm telling you, she just had all kinds of trouble with it. But when she used her cell phone, she was a pro. So it's just what you're used to, right? That's all it is.
So as a principal, you've seen the best and the worst of children and their behavior. You know, what does it take today for a young person or child to be more resilient in this world?
I think in some ways, kids today are, or let's put it this way, they have the potential to be more resilient because things are moving so much faster. They are growing up. They are getting hardwired at a time and place when things are moving quickly. So they adapt sooner in a shorter amount of time. It's we who are used to longer cycles of resetting that have trouble with the quick cycle of resetting. I remember when it was only about 15 years ago that somebody said, you know, when our grandparents were growing up, they had not only one career, but they had one job. Like you worked for a factory and for your whole adult life, and that factory took care of you in your retirement. And then it became, well, maybe not one factory, but maybe two or three factories, same career. Then, and if you couldn't, if you had to change jobs, you were kind of seen as a failure. Like, couldn't you hang on to your career? You had to switch careers? I guess you weren't that good. That was the view of that. But now, with this next generation, they have to have seven jobs, seven different careers, or be seen as a failure because they could not adapt fast enough. You see, we were seen as failures if we had to adapt. They are going to be seen as failures if they cannot adapt. So I think resilience is built into them. We have to sort of adapt to that and give them a chance to do that.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. So as a principal, how did you determine what children might need a little confidence building?
They got to believe in themselves. You know, I think they're inheriting, some of the kids nowadays are inheriting our mindset of, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, you know what, Miss Westmoreland, that's the wrong question to ask. Really, we need to be asking, what aspects of yourself do you want to leverage on your journey? Because the careers that we have today are not going to be the careers that they have tomorrow. They're not. The companies we have today won't be the companies they have tomorrow. Instead, what they need to focus on is, what are the aspects of their own personality that they can leverage to do what they need to do to put food on the table?
So you were talking earlier about the children today. You feel that they're more, in a sense, more resilient to change and adapting?
I think so. I think if we give them the opportunity, they can do it. The problem is, I think in many cases, we straitjacket them. You know, I'm all for universities. I love going to school. I'm a teacher. I believe in it. But I think even our big universities are realizing that model may not be around for a whole heck of a lot longer.
Oh, please.
The model of the fame of the, excuse me?
Please tell more.
Yeah, I think the idea of colleges being training grounds for professions, that's not going to be around. A college degree is not going to be necessary because there are so many things that you can do without a college degree. And there are so many other certifications that you can get that are incredibly valuable that are not going to be part of a four-year, I'm talking about a four-year college degree. We're still learning. We're still learning, but we're not sitting inside of brick and mortar. We're not stuck on a four-year window. We're not stuck with even working within our region. We have universities that have campuses across the globe. And pretty soon they're going to figure out, this is very expensive. We could just do this on Zoom, and it's going to be a whole heck of a lot cheaper. We're going to reach a whole heck of a lot more people. The person in a rural area of a poorer country can now access some of the most amazing classes at, you name it, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, King's College, simply on their cell phone. And colleges know that. They're putting their classes online for free. They know that education is being democratized and it's available. So if we give the kids an opportunity to do what they want to do and adapt to the changing times, they'll do it. As long as we don't try to straitjacket them and say, well, you've got to go to 4 years of college. I don't know about that.
We all had a lot of conditioning. I know when I was a child growing up, of course, I'm the last year of the baby boomers. And I always heard this, work for the government. It's safe, you know. I did work for the government. I was in the Air Force 20 years, you know. But when you were talking about other opportunities, I was wondering also if you were referring to like trade schools, you know, versus somebody going to a university or a two-year college.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the thing is, I think some of those, what we would call trade schools, I don't think they're going away. I think they're going to get bigger because they're going to be more valuable. I think those are the jobs that are still going to be here when AI takes over. I believe you're still going to need that person to do that. And they're going to be more valuable. They're going to get even more and more important. And I think that people will start going to that because they'll feel more secure.
Well, that makes sense. You know, I mean, college is great. And I mean, when the Air Force said, hey, you know, we'll pay for free college, I jumped on board and did a lot of college. And it's definitely helped me. But I could see that the future generation is going to be very, very different.
And, you know, I think to some of us, the idea of a 2 year, what we would call an associate's degree or certification with an internship was, it was kind of frowned upon. People thought, oh, you didn't go to a 4 year school, so you're going to be going to a 2 year school. And I think that model is outdated. And frankly, I think it's going to be reversed. And that person going to a 2 year school, learning a particular trade, using their hands, they're going to have that career. It won't be replaced. Plus, they're going to do their side hustle. They're going to be doing something online. They're going to be having an e-store. And so they've got plenty of things going on. They got plenty of things going on. But one thing is solid and the other one might be a little bit more fluid.
Gotcha. Yeah, that trade school stuff. Let me tell you, last year we had a freak accident in my home. I had deodorant on the back of the toilet and it accidentally fell into the toilet as I was flushing the toilet and it got stuck in the mat, you know, in the middle, and it ended up costing me $450, even with a military discount, for 45 minutes of work to get that, recover that, and to clean up. 45 minutes. That's a lot of money. Yeah.
It's a big chunk of change, but we'll pay it because they also know what part of the pipe to cut into. And they're not going to knock out a whole chunk of your wall. You know, they're going to know exactly how to save you $2,000 in drywall by taking care of this.
Yeah. Well, it was expensive. Glad they did a great job. And moving forward, I don't put anything on the back of the toilet anymore. That was a weird, freaky thing. So let me ask you your thoughts on AI. Is AI going to help the younger folks become more resilient? Or do you think it'll be a handicap for them?
I don't think it's necessarily going to be a handicap. I think they're going to adapt to AI better than we are because they're going to grow up with it. Just like those of us who grew up with typewriters took a little bit of time trying to adjust to our word processor. Remember when we call it word processors? Now yes. it's our laptop, you know, and those of us that grew up with laptops, we're still trying to get the hang of the cloud. And those folks that grew up with the cloud, they, you know what I mean? And so you have to adapt out of what you're conditioned to. And I think the kids can overcome that. Where I think we want to work with resilience with our kids is on the emotional side. I think because we sort of put them into certain straitjackets and certain silos of emotions, I don't think they're as good at seeing how good they really are at adapting. And part of it is because how fast things are moving. When we were younger, if we failed at something, we kind of had time to regroup and find where we needed to go next. We had years to regroup. They don't have that luxury today. Things move so fast that they have to regroup by tonight. And that's kind of tough. It's tough because the human itself has not necessarily evolved at that same pace and that rhythm. When kids today make a mistake online in front of the universe catches up with you very fast.
Gotcha.
In our time, if you made a mistake, it may never see the light of day. Now it's seeing the light of day and it is out there fast and the cycle is moving along and the kids are not bouncing back from that.
Yeah.
It's bad enough that when Johnny found out that little Susie liked him, that by lunchtime it's gonna be everywhere in the cafeteria, right? And in our heads, it was like, oh no, oh no, oh no, the world is gonna fall apart because in our heads it was so big. Well, now with the tools that they have, a kid can make a mistake, put something out there, and it really is across the globe in a snap, and they can't pull it back. And
yeah,
that's
what you're talking
tough.
About. Well, you know, a lot of the young folks are on social media, there's all kind of platforms, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, there's so many things out there. With AI, where people can just go to AI and say, you know, write three sentences about love or take my picture, you know, put it in chat GPT and wipe my teeth. Do you think that that's a good thing to have with the young children? I mean, the younger folks today?
It's like any tool, isn't it? It's like any tool that you had, you know, when other generations were young, they were out there in the farm, they were in the cities doing business at very young ages. We've learned, at least in our society, how to protect kids up until they're 21, 25 to some degree. And now we're realizing the world used to have to go through parental permission, didn't it? Even commercials on TV had to go through the parents. Now there's direct marketing through your living room, and now it's direct marketing straight onto their cell phones. So the kids are being exposed to this at a pretty young age, but we have not prepared them for that. We haven't prepared them for, you're going to get stuff on your cell phone, and I need to teach you some things about how to tell if something is true or not. You know, and we need to do that at a younger age. We need to teach those kinds of skills so that they can be resilient in the face of an onslaught of images that are coming at them. How do you bounce back when your name and likeness has just been completely trashed? in the global universe. And when I was a teacher and a principal, I saw that with kids. Wow. I mean, at breakfast, they were fine. By recess, the world has imploded. And then by lunchtime, it's a whole new universe. It's kind of like a middle school dance. Remember that? We would come in, be strangers, make friends, be a couple, and break up all by the time they played Stairway to Heaven. You know, now... Did I bring back bad memories? But now all that happens online. Doesn't happen in the middle school dance. It all happens online. And boy, they are blowing it up. And they're using all of the AI features to change looks and likeness and sounds. And we've got to teach them how to use their ability to adapt, right? We have to teach them how to use their ability to adapt to also discern what is true and what is false. Like, there's an instinct back there, right? You've got to start getting that little lizard part of your brain active again and use that, couple that with your prefrontal cortex and go, okay, what does your radar tell you? What does your instinct tell you? What does your logic tell you? Okay, now you can take action. But first, let's think that through. And then go forward, right? So they can be resilient. They just need the tools to know that because it is hitting them at a very young age.
You know, I've been on a kick, Percy, about authenticity. And, you know, that I know that so many people at all ages are conditioned to have, to do this, to do that, to drive this, wear this. How important is it for children to be authentically themselves?
It's critical. The most important thing they can know is who they are. That's one of the reasons why I do like being a strengths coach, because I like making sure that kids understand what they're really good at and that it's okay to be different. You don't have to look like everybody else. You have to be able to look them in the eye and say, listen, you're a tiger. Quit looking at the eagle wishing you could fly. You know, it's... Right? We all have our different abilities, and I want to give each kid that roadmap of who they are, like taking an x-ray of who they are and what they're good at, what they can really leverage, because these are their talents. We're not just measuring them on how much knowledge you can accrue, because that's really what we had been doing in our schools. We spend most of our time telling kids that I'm going to judge you based on how much knowledge you could gather. And how many skills you could learn to prepare you for 10 years from now, not to prepare you for Saturday night when things are going to get a little dicey, you know, because you're going to get into it with your parents, you're going to get into it with your siblings, you're going to get into it with your friends, your enemies. That's when you really need to have all this knowledge. Well, they're not really learning that in schools, but now they kind of need to know that. They need to know who they really are. An animal has a lot of instincts to draw on. Our young adults don't necessarily have that. They operate out of a fear. They operate out of a vision of themselves that says that they're not good enough. You know, if you ask a kid, you take a piece of paper, you split it in half, you know, like hot dog, not hamburger, and then you write on the one side, you write a list of all the things that you're not good at and all the things that you are good at. You know as well as I do which side is going to be long. It's all the things that they cannot do. Well, now more than ever, we have got to stack the deck on the other side of the ledger. These are all the things that you have for talent, and it can be applied at home. It can be applied with your friends. It can be applied at college. It can be applied at work. Right? And then they know who they are. And that's going to build up their ability to be resilient. Because I know I can bounce back because I have this wealth of talent within me. I might need knowledge. I might need skill. That's okay. I can get that. But to know that there is a treasure inside you, that's worth its weight in gold.
So you have a book, Percy. What is your book about, and where can we find it?
My book is Public Speaking from A to Z. I'm now, after having spent all my time as a theater teacher and administrator, I'm now a public speaking coach. And I've decided I'm going to put some thoughts down on paper. And I wanted to take all of the experiences that I had with people, and because I don't think it's just a matter of coaching a speech. I think it's a matter of transforming people. And so you've got to give them all those tools. And when kids learn how to find who they really are, and gain the confidence it takes to voice who they really are, wow, their confidence level goes through the roof. Through the roof. Now they understand how to take all those thoughts and put it into words. And when you can use your words wisely, then you don't have to use your fist. Right? That was what I did as an administrator. Tell all the things that you did with your hands that you probably could have done with your words, you know? And therein lies where public speaking is so important for young adults, is understanding there's two voices, right? There's two voices. There's the voice that you use that comes through your lips, and then there's the voice that comes from your heart. And when you find out who you really are, my gosh, you're going to change the world. And that's really what public speaking is about, is understanding who you really are. We're transforming young adults into incredible architects and designers of their own future. They're not just riding the wave, they're making their waves. They're making impact. And that's important.
Having a rippling effect. That's wonderful. Percy, are you working with young children to help them develop public speaking abilities?
I have been, yes. I do offer classes. Right now, I'm working with a whole lot of folks on this side of the globe, getting them ready for their college applications or moving into that next level of education. And I just finished with one particular student and had to open up her eyes as to who she was. You know, they go into it thinking, oh, to get into college, I need to have the math scores, the English scores, the science scores. But really, when you're a university and you're looking at all these kids with terrific grades, you want somebody with personality that pops. And the kids don't realize that everybody's got the same resume. Really, really. Most kids all have the same.
Especially with AI.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Student council, yep, everybody's got it. And I used to coach student council as well. I get it. I was there pushing those kids, but I was also pushing who are you? What's your authentic self that we were just discussing? And how do you use that going forward? And so to do that, you've got to find who you really are.
Love it, love it, love it. So we're running out of time, Percy. Gosh, time goes so quick, and it's such a great conversation. I love education. My God, I thought I could go to college for the rest of my life because I loved it. I love learning. But let's, so that the listeners can learn more about you, where can they connect with you? Do you have a website, LinkedIn? Share again your book title and where we can find it.
They can find the book on Amazon. It was a bestseller when it came out. I've got a whole lot of Toastmaster friends who jump right on it. And they can jump on it on Amazon. There's a Kindle copy ebook on it. There's paperback, hardback. But also they can find me at FurzyGotwako.com.
And spell Furzy. You better spell the whole
thing.
Yeah,
I better spell that, shouldn't I? That's F as in Franklin, U as in Utah, R as in Robert, S as in Stephen, E like Edward, Y like Yankee, Gotwako, G like George, O as in Oscar, T as in Thomas, U as in Utah, A as in Apple, C as in Charlie, O as in Oscar, .com. And if you've got a kid and you want them